Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. Willie is in Calgary getting ready for Preds Flames. I'll have pregame coverage for you tonight at 7. Max Herz and Hal Gill will be on the call. Pete Weber will join me in the pregame as well. We say hello to Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. The author of the 32 Thoughts joins us every Thursday at 1. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Well, doing fantastic, but trying to figure out what's going on with this hockey team here in Nashville. Yeah. As just the inconsistency seems to be the name of the game, and you're starting to see frustrations from the head coach and John Hines. I mean, you saw it the other night. Now, granted, they were playing Edmonton, and Edmonton has the second coming of Gretzky and Messier, but a pretty good opponent to go up against, and they did battle back, but it just shows you when this team allows little mistakes to happen, it comes back to bite them. So from the 300,000-foot view that you have for the Predators, what are you seeing from them right now?
I see a team – well, first of all, you know, as I guess Draisaitl just owns the Predators. So I guess just whenever they play them, we're just –
27 points in 20 games.
It seems like that's low. I thought you were going to tell me 20 games is like 100 points, because it seems like every time he plays them, he lights them up. I mean, look, I mean, to me, it's pretty simple. You had a lot of guys who had huge years last year who are not yet getting there. And, you know, you can talk about coaching, you can talk about systems all you want, but you know, some of your great players from last year have just started slowly. And one of the reasons that you guys were better than what we expected last season was because you were better than the sum of your parts. Everybody contributed. It allowed your third line in particular did some real damage, because teams were exhausted after battling your first and second lines, and it isn't happening this year. And I mean, I don't think it's solely on them, but some of your best players, especially the forwards, really have to get going, because it's going to be really – like, you guys can't win those kinds of games, those shootouts that you guys had the other night with Edmonton, if your top guys aren't scoring. It's just not going to work.
As you can imagine, you know, a lot of people, when things are going well, it's usually one guy that takes the heat. It's the head coach. Now, the general manager too, but – you know, the first person is always the head coach. And it doesn't help that a guy that is still beloved by the franchise and did a lot of good things for the franchise is sitting out there as a free agent in Barry Trotz. So at this point, though, still 10 games into the season, what is the worry level in your mind for Hines and even Poile to an extent?
I think it's too soon. You know, didn't Hines just get an extension not too recently?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's one thing. I mean, look, like, you know, I don't think guys go from genius to dumb that quickly. I don't. Look, nobody likes losing, and everybody's frustrated by it. But I just think it's generally bad business to extend a guy and then fire them. It makes absolutely no sense to me. It's what loser franchises do. If you believed in a guy then, you should believe in him now. Now, do they have to start playing better? Yes. If things don't get better, does the heat turn up? Yes. I live in Toronto, and that's been going on all season. You have to turn things around. You know, the one thing about Trotz is, you know, there's a lot of talk about where he's going to go and what he's going to do. I do think that Barry Trotz would like to be, like, I don't know how much longer he wants to coach. I think he wants to be a manager or do something in the front office. And if you were to tell me that somewhere down the road, you know, he was going to join Nashville's front office, I would believe it. I thought it could happen last summer. It obviously didn't. But I would believe it if you told me there was the possibility he could join the organization in a front office role. I'm just not convinced he wants to coach too much longer.
Yeah, no, and I could totally see that. Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet. Now, they put Kiefer Sherwood on waivers yesterday. That made us think
cleared.
That, and he cleared. It made us think that there could be a corresponding move. To this point, I haven't seen one, and I was thinking it pointed that Philip Tomasino would be coming back to the Predators. It doesn't feel that way after John Hines was on our morning show earlier today, and his answer, it wasn't a yes or no, but it was he's going through the development process. So why do you think it's not time to bring him up yet, and couldn't he develop by playing second-line minutes in the NHL?
Well, first of all, just so you guys know, I'm under the impression it will not be Tomasino. Like I have to go back and listen to Hines this morning from your show, but I looked around and I said, is there any chance if Sherwood clears, Tomasino gets the call up? And the indication to me was that's not going to be happening. So I think you're reading the tea leaves right. I think it's a tough question. It's sort of like the chicken or the egg, right? Like, where do you think, like, do you think a player will be better off down there in the American Hockey League with Milwaukee, or do you think a player will be better off in the NHL? I think the best way to look at it is to look at the Predators as a whole. You guys know that organization as well as anybody else. The philosophy of the team is we want you in the AHL as long as we possibly can or until we think you're ready. So what it says to me is they just don't think he's ready. And you know the Predators, they won't bring him up until they think he is. And it's not their way to say, okay, we're going to accelerate this at the NHL level. Now, sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures, but from what I can sense right here now, Chase, is that that's not happening.
Now, Elliot, you said there comes a point in a season where, in regards to the Predators, where they're going to have to do something. Based on your experience, when does that point come? Because we're not even 15 games in, and we understand and we see how they're playing, but you want to be able to make that move at the right time and not too late. Whatever moves or whatever you're going to do as a head coach and a GM, you need to make it at the right time and not too late. So in your experience, when is that time that they maybe need to look at this team and say, okay, we need to start making some changes here and there?
Well, I think it's hard in this league, Derek. That's one thing. But it kind of comes back to what we just talked about the Predators' organizational philosophy. You know who this GM is, okay? You know how he thinks. You know what he does. He is fearless. He has never been afraid to make difficult decisions or do challenging things if he thinks they're right for the Predators. And he's also one of those GMs who's constantly on the phone, calling other teams, seeing what's out there. So my position on this would be that I'm sure he's already looking out there to see what's out there. And I'm sure that he's got ideas on what isn't working and why. And so I wouldn't be surprised if, like, it doesn't mean he's going to do anything, but I guarantee to you he's out there understanding where things stand right now, what the landscape is, and if he wants to do something, what he can do. You know him. He won't like this. He won't want this to go much longer. And if he does see something out there, he'll do it.
Now, yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, Hines has made some line changes here and there. And it worked for a quick minute, but then they end up losing the next following night. And you're right, you know, listening to you. Listen, he can draw up whatever he wants to. Meaning Hines, he can draw up whatever he wants to. And it's not like he's gotten, you know, dumb overnight. But it's up to their playmakers, the guys that they look to and lean on, to take whatever game plan that he has and basically go out there and orchestrate that game plan in a winning form. And they just hadn't been able to do that. So, and I know everybody looks at the coach, but ultimately, you know, the coach can only do so much. He can get the game plan and give it to you, but then it's up to you to make that game plan work as players.
that's true. I mean, look, that number one line last year was a dominant line. Mm-hmm. It has to get back there. Like, you can't win in this league if your best players are not your best players. Your number one line has to get back to where it was last year. And it's capable of that. It just has to do it. Where I think the Predators have an issue that we're all trying to figure out here, I'm not telling anything that the teams don't know, the fans don't know, that number two line is struggling to find its identity. And, you know, one of the hardest things to find in this league is top six centers. And, you know, I know you've been giving Cody Glass an opportunity to try to find that spot there. And I really liked what Hines had to say about him last week. I saw the quotes when Glass got benched and Hines was like, look, we're trying to do this with the velvet glove here. The thing I really understand what the Predators are trying to do is they're trying to find out if he's a player. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, you have to commit to that. You have to do it. My biggest question for them is, how long can you go with it if it doesn't work? I think you have to give him a chance to prove he can play into the job or can't. But this is a business, this is a winning business. And as you guys have talked about, the team is off to a rough start. So one of the things I look at is, how long do you give Glass the opportunity, or do you get to a point where you say, you know what, we can't do this now, and we have to start doing something else?
He is Elliot Friedman, author of the 32 Thoughts, also on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, always enjoy the conversations with you. Thanks so much. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys, enjoy the game tonight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, and yes, we'll have pregame coverage, I will, for you, starting at 7 here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Pete Weber still out with a hip, and Max Herz will fill in tonight with Hal Gill on the call. Coming up next, we'll get into that. Some things that Elliot just touched on, and maybe what this lineup is going to look like tonight against Calgary. We'll do that next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. He asked me if I was a Star Wars fan. I am. You just felt like playing this, or was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, man.
It's a legendary song.
If you've seen Star Wars, you cannot not be a Star Wars fan.
This is not the legendary Star Wars
song. No. It's before they face Darth Maul.
Yeah, but Darth Maul, Darth Vader, come on now. Let's just. Well, the Predators, of course, you know, we just have Elliot on, and then the Predators make news. Mm-hmm. They have recalled forward Mark Jankowski from Milwaukee, and Kiefer Sherwood, as Elliot said, did clear waivers and has been assigned to Milwaukee. So Jankowski is up. But I think the interesting thing from the discussion with Elliot is what things look like right now. Now, I don't necessarily think that a change is coming or should necessarily happen as of yet, but it's being talked about, and so we had to bring it up with Elliot Friedman, and this is what he said when I asked about if Hines or Poile should have a concern at this point.
Look, like, you know, I don't think guys go from genius to dumb that quickly. I don't. Look, nobody likes losing. And everybody's frustrated by it. But I just think it's generally bad business to extend a guy and then fire them. It makes absolutely no sense to me. It's what loser franchises do. If you believed in a guy then, you should believe in him now. Now, do they have to start playing better? Yes. If things don't get better, does the heat turn up? Yes. I live in Toronto, and that's been going on all season. You have to turn things around. You know, the one thing about Trotz is, you know, there's a lot of talk about where he's going to go and what he's going to do. I do think that Barry Trotz would like to be, I don't know how much longer he wants to coach. I think he wants to be a manager or do something in the front office. And if you were to tell me that somewhere down the road, you know, he was going to join Nashville's front office, I would believe it. I thought it could happen last summer. It obviously didn't.
There you go. That's some of Elliot Friedman talking about Hines and Poile and even Trotz. what could happen. There's a lot to unpack there. Now, I agree. They just signed John Hines to a contract extension, and I've been pretty consistent in saying this isn't all on him. It's on everybody right now. But I like this roster, and I still like this roster. It's just, for whatever reason, you have some guys that need to go to another level that haven't gone to that other level yet. Now, is that the message that they're getting from coaching? Is that just them? Is it a combination? You know, I think time is going to tell there. But the interesting part is the Barry Trotz piece of, could he rejoin the Predators in the front office, because ultimately that's what he wants to do? When would be the right time to do that? I find it to be, if it was, you know, if that's something that they announced soon, or, you know, maybe even, or like right now, I would say that's probably not the right time to do it, because you're going to have people immediately go, oh, okay, he'll jump on the bench then. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what that's going to mean. It's going to have to be at a point where people understand he's not going to coach.
Well, I mean, if they do it anytime now, I mean, it'd do more harm than good. It'll cause more problems than trying to alleviate them. It will put this team under a bigger microscope than anything else. If you make a move like that right now, this early. Yes, this team has the talent. Yes, based on, you know, what we've seen during the preseason, you know, offseason, David did what he needed to do to get this team the way John Hines wanted it to be, or close, as close to it as he possibly could. Right. And he felt he did all those things. And I'm sure everyone felt good about, you know, the start of the season. They were 2-0. But even with adding those guys during the offseason, and as well as Nino's plan or anybody else's plan that they've added to their roster, this team still, it's still not the team from last year. And they still got to sort of, you know, get used to one another. And I'm not saying I'm not making an excuse for them, but it's just the facts. And this team, and in the process of them doing that, again, they're big hitters, their big game players must step up every night. At least one or two of them have to step up each night, because this team is still sort of in that position of, we're still getting guys used to playing with one another. We're changing lines. We've added guys. We're bringing guys up, sending guys down. This team still has to get used to one another. But in the midst of all of that, we got to have our big guns play big. They have to, you know, they have to carry the team while we're coming together.
That's the thing. They're not right now. And you got to get that out of them. You know, Jankowski leads the Admirals with 9 points. He's their leading scorer. Great. But I need Philip Forsberg. I need Matt Duchene. I need Ryan Johansson. And you know, they've played okay, but there has to be another level when you're those guys. Roman Josi, same thing. Even Juuse Saros to an extent. And I think they all know that, but they've needed to figure it out for a while.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, you don't want to put a lot of it on Juuse, but he, you know, he needs to play. Everybody needs to play better. You know? So I mean, again, I'm the one that says, you know, if we were sitting here and 20, 25 games had passed and they're still playing poorly, then, yeah, we got a problem. We got a huge problem. But now that we're what? Well, how many games are we in?
10.
10? Yes, there's a problem, but there's still time to fix it. There's still time with this group to get everything back in line. Now, if they don't, then, yeah, we might have to – some guys might have to lose their roles on this team. Or their roles might be diminished, let's just say that, on this team.
Right. So we will see. Again, pregame coverage coming up at 7 o'clock tonight here on 102.5, 106.3. The game is the Predators will take on the Calgary Flames. Coming up next, I think Willie's caught up with a player, so we will hear – from him coming up next and continue the discussion. 615-737-1025. Plus, we'll have our trivia question for a chance for you to win tickets to see the Predators take on the New York Rangers on November 12th. That's all next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. But when it comes to sports betting, you know I am all about Superbook Sports. And when it comes to sports, it's all happening right now. Whether it's football, basketball, hockey, and soon enough the World Cup, there's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus of up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy winning some money at Superbook Sports. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. If you feel so inclined to bet on tonight's game, the Philadelphia Eagles, a road favorite, -13.5 on the Superbook Sports app. Sign up, put your money in, and go pick your game. It's that simple. Just click bet. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Our college football game of the week. Tune in as MTSU takes on La Tech at 2 o'clock here on 1025 The Game. College football game of the week is presented by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Stillman and Company coming up in about 30 minutes. Jared's here, and he's already fired up.
Yes, he is. He came in here. He walked in here.
He starts doing the pre-show.
Uh-huh.
So he is.
That's Jared for you.
He is
fired up.
He is feeling it right now. All right, let's give away a pair of tickets. Predators and the New York Rangers coming up November 12th. At Bridgestone Arena. Going to be a fun night for sure. They're going to be giving away the first 10,000 fans in the building will receive a Preds luggage tag presented by B&A, the Nashville Airport. And they're also hosting Second Harvest Food Drive. Donate non-perishable food at the game or visit NashvillePredators.com/food drive for that. But you must answer our trivia question, which is going to be, as the Predators have called up Mark Jankowski. He will join the team tonight, 28 years old, as he will make his debut with the Predators team after leading Milwaukee in points, if I could speak right. he has done that this year, so he's getting the call-up. So here's the question. He was the 21st overall pick in the 2012 NHL entry draft. By which team? 615-737-1025. Who drafted him? In the 2012 entry draft, 21st overall, and I'll give you a hint, it's not the Predators. 615-737-1025. Tell Nick Kieser that answer, and you will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds and the New York Rangers on November the 12th. Let's check in with Willie Donick once again, who is standing by with Michael McCarron.
Talking with Predators forward Michael McCarron. And Michael, you know, when you go through some struggles like this, you really rely on the fact that you guys, really the last couple of years, I think, have built a very good team culture. Is it nice to fall back on that a little bit? And that's what I'm sure you're trying to draw on right now.
Yeah. Obviously, like you said, the past 3 years, you know, the leadership group and the older guys have created a great atmosphere in the locker room. And it's great to be able to lean on everybody in the locker room. Even the older guys can lean on each other and even us. So, you know, we always have – things aren't going well, it can get pretty ugly if you don't have a tight locker room. And you know, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say there's not any panic in our locker room or worry, so to say. I think you know, there's just little things in our game that need to get out of it. And you know, we're learning that through video every day with our coaches. And you know, everybody holds everybody accountable in our locker room, so we know when we're not doing things right or wrong. And you know, thank God for the great locker room, because it can get pretty ugly.
So yesterday when you guys met and practiced, you went through some things. Give us maybe one thing that you guys wanted to work on to get going tonight for Calgary.
Well, I think we need to execute executing the next play. I think we're not going tape to tape enough. We're not making enough plays in the offensive zone. I think we're being too simple in the offensive zone. And you know, we know all of our systems, so there wasn't really any teaching the systems. It was more how to get more chances in the offensive zone to score more goals. And, I think last night, the other night against Edmonton, we had 70 hits, and I think that's a result of maybe chipping the puck in too many times when you could have, like, 3-on-2s, you can't be chipping the puck in, you know what I mean? So being a little bit more free with the puck and not careless with it, making the right play, when you got to dump it in, you got to dump it in. And, I'm on the fourth line. The role of the fourth line is bring energy, and so that's more for us. But, the other guys, I mean, we have some really skilled players on our team that can make great, unbelievable plays. And I think we were just – a little bit too cautious with the puck at times in the offensive zone and in our line too. So, we watched video and they showed us exactly where we can make more plays and be more dynamic, so to say.
You mentioned Calgary. They like the physical games. There were some great games with the Flames last year, as you remember. And they've made a few changes to their lineup, but Daryl Sutter's still the coach. You mentioned your line's identity is physicality, energy. You looking forward to that challenge tonight?
Yeah, it'll be a great game. I mean, I always love playing teams like this, big heated rivalries, and I don't know about a rivalry, but we had some pretty rivalry-ish type games last year. So I wouldn't expect anything different tonight. They're coming off 2-game losing streak, and we haven't been at our best. So these kind of games usually bring the best out in players. So we're excited for tonight, and it'll be a hard physical style game, and it'll be one around the trenches, and I think our team's ready for that, and we're excited to continue building our game and getting the right foot forward.
Michael, thanks a lot for the time. Good luck tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
There you go, Michael McCarron with Willie Donick there in Calgary as the Predators will take on the Flames a little bit later on this evening. We do have a winner to our trivia question. Who is our winner?
Alex is our winner today.
Alex, got it. And the answer is tonight's opponent, the Calgary Flames, as Jankowski was drafted in 2012, 21st overall by Calgary. He will make his Predators debut against his former team tonight. So we will see how that goes for sure. I want to get back into the Titans for a second because Todd Downing, talked some today. Obviously, he's faced with a similar situation, Derek, that he was in last week of just uncertainty of whether he was going to have his quarterback or not. Ryan Tannehill ultimately didn't play, and Malik Willis got his first career start. We heard from Tannehill yesterday. He's going to see how it goes. It's feeling better. All those things that you expect him to say, but he was limited in practice, and whenever the media is out there, you don't really see him. So we're not going to know until the weekend – whether he's going to be able to go. Should he play if he's remotely close to, like, let's not say he's 100%, but he's 75%, should he play?
I mean, it just depends on how he looks in practice. If he's indeed practicing, we won't know because, the club is, you can only see parts of the beginning of practice, which is just like a lot of individual stuff. You're not going to see the actual practice and when it goes on. But if he's able to do all those things that you're asking him to do in the game, if he can do those things in practice, then, you let him go. But if there's any, restrictions or if he's, in any way limited in his movement, then I think you gotta, wait until you see him again Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning in warm-ups or talking to him Sunday and seeing how he feels. Because the last thing you want to do is go out there and he's not, say if he's 75%. Well, you go out there and because you can't move as quickly, one of those linemen end up falling on you by accident, or one of those defensive linemen end up falling on you, or your natural instinct is to lead a pocket and you get tackled, they tackle you low and sort of turn you over a little bit. And then potentially hurting you and pushing that, whatever progress you had at healing, it pushes it back to square one. I think the team has to be very careful in this situation, because again, it's about the whole season, not really one game. But if he gives you the best chance to win and he's you know, close to 100%. If not, and he isn't limited in any way or restricted in any way, then you let him play. But if he is, I think you got to think long about that, because if he goes down, if he's 75% and he goes down and he can't play for 5 or 6 games, now you put yourself in a position where Indianapolis or whoever can sneak back up and potentially win a division because your starting quarterback's not there.
It's
a hard decision, I know.
Yeah, because I just watching Malik Willis, I mean, it's clear he's not ready.
Yeah,
he's not ready to be a starter in this league. I'm not saying he never will be. No, I'm not gonna be like Jared and say he stinks. I mean, it's one game, but
he doesn't stink. He's just a rookie,
right? He's a third round pick. Yeah, he dropped jitters. For a reason.
He rookie jitters, and you saw it, and he never felt comfortable. So you believe if he does have to play again, the outcome as far as his play will look a lot better than it did the first game. So, you know, but hopefully they don't have to go back to, you know, Malik Willis, because again, that will mean Derrick Henry running the ball a lot.
Well, speaking of, Derrick Henry was on the injury report yesterday. We haven't really talked about it. It was brought up. We'll do that coming up next. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on a Thursday. Stillman and Company coming up in just a few minutes here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tomorrow for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy, from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and take you through a night of high school football around the mid-state. Playoffs are here. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason hanging out with you. Willie's in Calgary getting ready for Preds and Flames tonight. Stillman and Company coming up in about 15 minutes. Jared is here monitoring us, making sure that we behave or something like that. I don't really know what this is.
But I'm just enjoying my time until the truth will be told to the people.
Your truth.
I hear Derek and your Elliot truth. Friedman sitting there making excuses for John Hines. I've heard
okay,
a lot.
This is what people ding, listen, ding, ding. In the world, people across the world, everybody listen. Just because you ask me a question and I answer it doesn't mean it's an excuse. It's a truth that I see. It's not an excuse. It's a truth that I see. Those are not excuses. You know, just like, hey, listen, just like if you're in a relationship or you're talking to your kids, you ask a kid a question. Why did you do this? I did it because. All right. That's not an excuse. It's your reason why you did it. I don't agree with your reason, but you did it. I can't say it's an excuse. It's your reason. It's your truth. So it's not an excuse.
So your truth is that all the players need to play better, and that it's absolutely not the coach's fault that they're not playing better.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Well, since you're here.
We can't, just like David Poyle said on this show last week, it's not the coach's job for them to win and lose. So, you know, I guess you and Elliot are right.
Eventually it comes a time when.
4 seasons in?
Yeah, before season's end. As far as them, are you thinking I'm
Hines
going
has been
to say
here 4 seasons is what he's saying.
4 seasons, yeah. Or the 4 seasons, the hotel, or
oh,
4
seasons. Right now, you know. Hey, here's my thing about John Hines, and I said this yesterday, and I stand by this. Uh-huh. I don't think John Hines is like the problem right now, like the big picture problem with the organization. I don't think Hines is a great coach, but I don't think he's like the problem. The reality, though, is that if things don't change by Thanksgiving, they've got all these players signed to contracts they can't move, and David's not going to fire himself, and they're not going to fire David. So somebody is going to take the blame for this, and it's going to be John Hines.
Well, that happens in every walk of life, every corporation, every professional sport league. Typically, it's the GM or whatnot is the last person in line. And I'm not saying that Poyle needs to be dismissed. I'm not saying that because I'm not qualified to say whether he should be dismissed or not. But you know this. You've been in it long enough. You've covered it long enough. The head coach is always the first guy that falls.
It's
and the football coordinator, head coach, they're always the ones that fall first. It's not typically the guy above them.
Although Poyle's already fired a coach.
Yeah.
And they haven't won anything since he fired the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he fired the coach to get these guys to play better. And now they're needing to get
Well, they started to play better last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Is oh, my God. That's a hot take from Mel Kiper Jr.
Oh, well, he's been saying that for the longest, man. You didn't realize that? he's been saying that for the longest, yeah.
Mel Kiper, I'm sorry.
What? Yeah.
I just totally, you know, this is why I don't turn the TV on in the studio. Mel Kiper Jr. says the best NFL comp for Will Levis is Troy Aikman.
Okay.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Will Levis. He said Will Levis is the best quarterback at one point.
Well, he just said that his comp is Troy Aikman. Now, I think Troy was an overrated quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you had given me, you know, Emmitt Smith and that offensive line and Michael Irvin and everything else, we might have been
Alvin
okay.
Harper, all those guys.
Yeah.
Novak.
Jay Novacek.
Yeah, Novacek, not Novak. Yeah. Novacek, yeah.
Novak.
Yeah, like Novacek.
If you had given me all those guys, there's a chance that, you know, we would have been okay. But, I mean, wow. Mel Kiper sitting there telling me Will Levis is Troy Aikman.
Hold on.
No.
Not even back to the press. This is how sometimes people feel about you.
What do you mean?
When you say things like that, people say, Jared, seriously, you said that?
I mean, everything that I say is my truth.
Exactly. That's
By the way, this morning, so I walk in to say hi to the morning show, and Joe goes, hey, we need to get a T-shirt deal. Jared's Film Room. Like, we need those T-shirts that say Jared's Film Room on it. And I said, you know, we call him Coach Jared. And then I go, you know, I could actually see, like, when Jared's done with radio, being a high school football, like, DB's coach. DB's on me. DB's right here.
I have no desire to do that. Here's the thing.
They would fire Jared because he would tell the head coach, that was just dumb.
Yeah, I have no interest in that. But I do love the Joe Rexroad going off about Jared's film room is the classic deflection of Jared did more work than me, but I don't want to acknowledge the work that Jared did. Yesterday, what started all that was he was like, I get the All-22 film too. And I go, okay, what'd you think of Malik Willis in the All-22 film? And he was like, well, you know, I mean, I didn't think it was very good. I was like, but what specifically, Joe, did you not like? And Joe didn't watch it, so he didn't, you know, whatever. So then he was like, oh, yeah, take me to your film room. Like, no, you say you have the same film. Why don't you watch the film? And then if you watch the film, then you can say what I said's wrong. But you have to watch it.
It was his truth, though.
No, that was his lie.
I get the film too.
Hey, get off my Spartan buddy, man. Come on now.
Hey, he's a big Michigan State fan, even though he claims that he's not. He's a huge fan.
Oh, man. Well, but back to Hines and the Predators.
I was going to get back to the Titans.
Well, you can get back to the Titans and Predators. I mean, my thing is, and I'm coming from, you know, just a sort of a player's perspective, not necessarily from a managerial perspective when talking about Hines. It's up to, and I don't know how they play better, but we had this poll at the beginning of the year, and it was how many goals this guy's going to score, how many points there, and I think all of mine was below. It might have been, with the exception of one.
Yeah, I think.
And was Willie's all above?
No,
his all went above. But my thing is, I think last year with that team,
I love Willie.
With Duchesne and those guys, that was just a blip. Like how well they played.
That's not what they said after the year was over.
I understand, but when I looked at the career of those guys and on average what they were doing, it was nowhere near what they did last year. That's why my thing was they all are going to come down, but which means other players need to play better.
I know, but see, that's because you have common sense. But what happened after the season was everybody took that. I mean, first of all, people forget the Predators were horrible at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were awful. You know, from about February 10th until the end of the year, they were not good. Then they were not good in the playoffs, and everybody was like, you know what? We're right there with Colorado. I'm like, what? What? And they were like, no, seriously, we're bringing Tomasino along. He showed great promise. Well, where's he?
It's in Milwaukee.
I guess he didn't show good enough promise. And, you know, we got the best we could out of this guy, out of Forsberg and Duchesne. And, you know, they've never played that well before, ever. I know. But we know now that they are, you know, these are our guys and they are. And it's like the problem that I have with the Predators is that the narratives that get spun about players or situations or really the overall structure of the organization doesn't track with what actually happens during the games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you actually watch the games, I see, like, Alexander Carrier play defense. I'm like, this guy freaking sucks. And then every time they're like, he's a great young defenseman, that Carrier. I'm like, first of all, I thought it was Carrier, not Carrier. I don't, you know, you tell me what it is.
Carrier. But,
like, he's a great young defenseman. I'm like, then why does he suck so bad? Mm-hmm. And then I'm the bad guy, right? It's not like the Titans, and the Titans do some of this too. But it's not like the Titans are sitting there saying, you know, we think we've got a great wide receiving core right now with Cody Hollister in there catching the ball. They don't say that because it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what bothers me about a lot of the things that, you know, have to do with the Predators. And I feel bad for the coach because if they don't turn it around, if these guys don't mm-hmm. start playing the way last year, then they're going to keep losing. And then he's going to get fired over it, even if it's his fault or not his fault. But if we're going to give him credit for getting those guys to play like that last mm-hmm. year, then he should take the blame or is going to take the blame when he doesn't play, when they don't play like it this year.
There you go.
There you go. That's Jarrett's truth.
Jarrett's truth.
You should have a segment, Jarrett's truth.
I have 4 hours of that.
You should name it Jarrett's truth.
We give him enough. You got bonus Jarrett today. Thanks for stopping in. Stillman & Company is coming up next. They, of course, will talk about the Titans.
The Mike Vrabel Coaches Show got me worked up.
Yes.
Did it?
And that's what they're going to lead off with. That's all coming up next. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 10 right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We out.
We in.